Blog Talk Radio.
Farmer's market on Friday, and I don't think I'll be going tomorrow. I just need to lay up and allow this inflammation and this nerve to go down. But, you know, all in all, I'm doing well and Yah is good and greatly to be praised. All right, so I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. Whether you're in North America or South America, the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the Communist Bloc countries, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We are continuing tonight in this DNA, bioengineering and biohacking. And I want to show you some ways that, you know, the ways that they are going to sell this to us, okay, and the positive and the negative of it. And as I said, my surprise was that they are not trying to do this, they are doing it. And, you know, I was trying to look on YouTube to find the video that I had looked at for this. I thought I saved it. But I'll find it, and maybe one day we'll look at it so that you can see that they are, what they are doing, it is just craziness. And my concern with it was, you know, the state of man. Because with this type of technology, if man is corrupt, then nothing good can come of this. In the end, nothing good can come of it. It's going to be where somebody's going to weaponize it or is going to use it to hurt people. And so we're going to see this, okay? But I want to look at how they are going to be selling it to us, its benefits, what they're going to say are benefits. And as I said, if man was good, he was decent, then this would be a great breakthrough. And if the Most High allowed it, but, you know, they are stepping into the realm of the Most High. They are messing with his blocks of creation, and they are altering them in ways that, you know, in some ways it could be good, and in a lot of ways it could be very, very bad. And so it is just scary to me. I know, and I don't want anybody to think that Yah does not have us, because he does. And no matter how bad things get, if we belong to him, we got nothing to worry about. That is not, you know, in question here. The thing is that, you know, you can look at some things and say, okay, you know, I'm not really worried about that. But then you can look at something and say, oh, this is something to worry about, and this is something to worry about, at least for me. Okay. So we want to, you know, I want to greet everybody, as I said. And may the ladies to cover their heads. Any men, cover your heads. And we are going to go before the Most High. Go ahead and get into this just see what else is in this. Now, I probably could do, maybe 3 or 4 lessons on this because it is just that deep. But Holy Hand, let's do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We give you glory, honor, and praise, and we lift you up and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. And we extol you, Father, for truly you are worthy. Hallelujah. Holy hands lifted up to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture for today, Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. For the Most High to bless you through the reading, hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's look at some ways that they're going to sell this to us as positive positive benefit of this, looking at bioengineering. As I said, bioengineering is where they are actually going into the cell, pulling out the DNA, cutting it, inserting a string of DNA that they want there to affect a change in that being, whatever it is, whether it's a person or a frog, a cow, a plant. They are messing with everything. Let me, somebody's going to know if they are running right now. Just a second. So we want to look at how they're going to sell this as positive benefit. Bioengineering, medical advancement, creating personalized medicine. So they're going to sell it to you that, hey, we can come in and now we can personalize your treatment to you, to your genetics. Because we're all, you know, we're 99.9% the same, and then we are that 0.1% not the same. Right now, all medicine that they do is based upon a 35-year-old white male. That's the standard. And so they don't know, really, when they're treating you, how it will affect you. So now they're saying that, hey, we can now personalize it to your genetics. Develop gene therapies for genetic disorders. So, you know, anything that is a genetic disorder, meaning that you were born that way and it's in your genes, that they can now treat those genes and get rid of whatever that disorder is. Engineering organs for transplant. Now, as I told you on yesterday, that they are currently growing heart transplants, producing synthetic skin for burn victims. So somebody severely burned, and you know they need a skin graft. Usually, you got to take it from somewhere else off your body. Excuse me. Somewhere else off your body. Now they're saying, hey, we can grow the skin and graft it onto you. So we take a part of your good skin that's not burned, and we grow the skin, and then transplant that onto your body. So those are some things that they're saying how they're going to be able to, things that they're going to be able to do to help people. Agricultural improvement, developing pest-resistant or drought-resistant crops. Just about everything, you know, I went to look at, we always hear about these GMOs, genetically modified organisms, or I don't know if that O stands for that, but genetically modified. And I found that when it comes to plants, one way or another, it's been genetically modified, whether it was just through crossbreeding, or getting a plant that we only want it to be a certain way, you know, we like that benefit of that plant. So then we bred the plants to produce that way, you know, by taking out, cutting a stem and then inserting that stem into another plant. They have all, so just about everything that we are eating today is genetically modified, but it's not gene splice. The difference. So you can say, hey, we like that this particular type of wheat is seems to be resistant to disease or seems to be resistant to drought. Don't need a whole lot of water. So we are going to breed, you know, the crops that seem to be that way. We're going to use their seeds and we'll stop using these other seeds. Enhancing nutritional value of the food product. So they're going to believe that they're going to be able to, you know, tell a plant to produce more of whatever, whether it's the minerals, the vitamins, whatever, they'll be able to tell, you know, the plant to do that. Creating animal models for study, creating animal models for study. studying human disease. Now, what they're really saying is we're going to create a animal that we specifically use to study disease. Right now, they might be using dogs or cats or monkeys. But they're going to grow an animal just so that they can, you know, so they can say, hey, we can do whatever we want to it. And we're not being, you know, we're not being inhumane. But we can, you know, we can experiment on it because we grew it for this purpose. Environmental application. Bioremediation to clean up environmental contaminants. So they'll be able to, let's say there's an oil spill, and there are certain organisms that eat oil, then they would genetically modify and create this organism that would be able to eat that oil and specifically eat it to get rid of it with no toxic, you know, byproducts. Engineering algae for biofuel production. And that might not be a bad thing. Another source of fuel. So they could say, oh, we want this type of algae, but we want it to have these characteristics. Developing biodegradable materials to reduce plastic waste. That won't be a bad thing either, because, you know, they have in the Pacific Ocean, I think there are three of these around the world, but in the Pacific Ocean, all of this plastic that everybody's using is ending up, you know, in the ocean, and then it's ended up in one place in the ocean. And so now they got a floating plastic island that they didn't put there. It was caused by people throwing it into the water and stuff. That is, they said, the size of Texas. And, you know, and it's killing a lot of sea animals like that. So they're saying, hey, we can make something that is biodegradable. So when we get rid of it, it just breaks down back into its natural elements. And we don't have to, we still get the same benefit of what we, how we use plastic, but it won't, you know, it'll be able to break down. Environmental applications. No, industrial uses. Producing bio-based chemicals and materials. I'm not really sure about that one, but I'm sure that, you know, if it is being bio-based, that it would break down. It wouldn't be, you know, it once it spilled on the ground or once it came to the end of its useful life, that it would you throw it in the trash or whatever, it would break down over a period of time, but not, you know, not taking a long time to do it and break back down into its base elements. Enhancing fermentation processes in food and beverage industry. I'm not really sure about that one either. Enhancing the fermentation process, you know, I guess for making beers or wine. I'm not really sure about these different processes that they use in the beverage industries other than, you know, I'm sure there's some other things that we drink that are fermented. Like your vinegar and things like that. Creating more efficient enzymes for industrial purposes. So these enzymes would be able to go in and, enzymes modify something. So whatever it is that they're trying to modify, these enzymes would be able to do it. Military and developing biological sensors to detect pathogens. Now, that's assuming that somebody's going to create something, a biochemical that you need to detect. Okay? So they want to make it biological sensors. So right now we're using mechanical sensors. Engineering microbes for biowarfare agent degradation. Biowarfare is where they are using, you know, viruses and bacteria and that kind of stuff to attack people. And so here they're saying to degrade those agents. Somebody come up and they disperse a biochemical, then they'll have the means to come up with a way to counter it. Research potential biological weapons. I don't know why they would ever even think biological weapons would be a positive, period. They're doing that to saying that that is a positive aspect of this, but where in the world and why would a biological agent designed to kill people ever be a positive? So we don't want to, you know, I don't look at that as a positive, but they have it in the positive column. Ethical and social implications. Debate over designer baby and genetic modification ethics. Now, I already told you that in, they're at war right now, Russia and good grief. Anyway, they are already, there's a guy over there already doing creating designer babies for people. Where you go in and you say, hey, I want my baby to have this color eyes. I want him to have this color hair. I want him to not have, you know, in my family runs this cancer. I want to make sure that they don't have the gene that produces that cancer. Yada, yada, yada. They're already doing it. And so they are having debates over just how much of this they should be allowed to do. Right now, there's no limitation on what they can do and can't do. Concerns over biopiracy and exploitation of natural resources. So this is where somebody comes in and illegally does something, takes something that has to do with bioengineering and uses it to exploit someone, you know, a natural resource or a country. And societal impacts of extended human lifespan. So they're talking about is, hey, if we increase the human lifespan, what impact is that going to have on society? If people really live to be 120 years old and they were healthy, but think about this. They are saying that, hey, we'll be able to get rid of whatever diseases are in your family. We can increase your lifespan. You're healthy, so we don't have a drain or a strain on the medical industry. That means that you still got to be able to provide food for that many people. You still got to be able to provide, you know, resources, planetary resources to feed that many people. So do they really want people to live for 120 years? Or for 1,000 years, or for 50,000 years. I think, you know, right now, Bill Gates and a few others, they're saying that, hey, we need to take the population back to the 1950s, when there were about 2 or 3 billion people on the planet. And I think they want to take it back to 500 million people on the planet. So this bioengineering, you know, they're already saying that we are overtasking the resources that the planet has, and that they want to get rid of a lot of people. So I don't see them using this in a positive way to extend, maybe they'll extend the life of a few select, and everybody else would be decreasing their lives. Okay. Let's look at biohacking. Now, bioengineering is going to be something that's done by, officially done by the scientific community. Okay. Be done by a country. But let's look at biohacking. Biohacking is the individual. Never been trained. Some of them been trained in it, but a lot of them, the way they're doing these kits, don't have to be. You don't have to be trained. You just get the kit and you experiment. And so biohacking, what they're saying are some positive aspects of it. Do-it-yourself genetic testing and analysis. So you can get one of these kits and, you know, just like a home pregnancy kit or whatever, but this one's going to be genetic, and they'll tell you, you know, give you your genetics and tell you what your family or what you are prone to get. So you may not have known that you had the gene for, let's say, muscular dystrophy or whatever. Muscular dystrophy, we just use that one. And you say, oh, well, I know that I got this, and I don't want to get with somebody that also has it. Then we just increase our chances of you know, our child getting it. So qualification using biometric data. I don't even know self-quantification using biometric data. I don't even really know what that means, self-quantification. Again, to me, this just points back at you understanding your DNA for yourself. Experimentation with with nootropics for cognitive enhancement. In other words, you had blue eyes and you wanted brown eyes. With these kits, you could actually do that. Change your eye color. You yourself. Do your own gene splicing. Take some of your DNA. Put it into one of these programs and say, oh, yeah, I want to change my eye color. And do it yourself. Community Science and Citizen Science Project. Amateur experimentation in genetics and microbiology. Amateur experimentation. Again, these are not people who have gone to school to study biology, to study, you know, gene splicing. It could be me. I just want to experiment and see. You know, you don't have to have no qualifications. So amateur experimentation, development of low-cost medical diagnostics. I guess if you don't have to go to the hospital, you can get one of these kits and find out what's wrong with you. That it should be cheaper. Participating in environmental monitoring and data collection. When they know that they have done something like they did, I told you they did, they injected these rats in Connecticut, and the rats are supposed to breed with other rats. They have this gene that they injected in this rat or a group of rats. They let them go in the wild. These rats reproduce with other rats, and they actually carry this gene forward. And this gene that they're carrying forward, if they get bit by a tick, they won't develop Lyme disease. Okay. And some kind of way it's supposed to kill the tick. Okay. So they have the children monitoring this, you know, collecting that data. Genetic modification and experimentation. CRISPR and other gene editing techniques for personal projects. The program that I told you about that you can actually go in and they know what area, you know, what genes cover, what aspects of the human body. CRISPR is supposed to be a program that's able to go in and you say, hey, I wanna mess with this. And it will find it and allow you to cut the gene right there and then say, oh, I want to insert this gene right here. So I want to change my brown eyes to blue. Here's the gene that covers eye color. And here's the gene that we know that if it's in this sequence produces brown eyes and this sequence produces blue eyes. I'm going to cut the brown out and put in the blue. Creation of genetically modified organisms for study or personal interest. Think about this. You have the ability to create a genetically modified organism. That is leaves it open to the imagination. And it's for your own personal study. Nobody even has to know you're doing this. So you create something that, if it gets out, it kills people. It goes through the air. It goes into the water. It goes, you know, it can survive fire. And it's a mutation, and you have no way of controlling it, but they allowed you to make it. Exploration of in synthetic biology. In other words, creating life, creating, you know, something that did not ever exist. It's synthetic. You create it, and it's yours. Nobody else even knows about it. So you feel like you want to create a five-legged dog? You could do that. And it's your personal thing. Or you want to create a dog with teeth like metal? You could do that. One of the guys, he was breeding beagles. And the beagle that he bred was three times the size of a normal beagle. Stronger, bigger. And to see these two together, you're like, wow. And so he plans on selling the technology to anybody that wanted to do it to their dog. Or, you know, now they got a new breed, and this dog is two to three times the size that is normal counterpart today. You get mad at somebody saying, oh, I got a mastiff, and a mastiff is big already, and I want it to be four times larger. So it's like the size of a car. And you did it because you wanted to do it. Cybernetic enhancement. For enhanced senses and capabilities. Oh, thank you, baby. Thank you. That's fine. Thank you. Enhanced senses and capabilities. You know, how we see these super heroes on TV, they got super strength. They can see through buildings. They can, you know, stretch. People know everything that you've seen on these fantasy movies that are supposed to be just for entertainment. People are going to be trying to do it. You know, you have the ability to fly because you found out that, hey, if we just modify the scene this way, we would be able to fly. That kind of stuff. So enhanced senses and capabilities. Developing interfaces between biological and electronic systems. In other words, you get into your car, and now the fact that you're in your car, you're able to control your car with your mind. You don't even have to physically drive it. You could just interface, you know, it plugs into, you stick a finger in a socket or whatever, and you're in control of this vehicle. Okay. Just, you know, and I can't even think of some of the stuff that people would think of because, to me, this is still unimaginable, and it's unconscionable that people would try to do this, but they will. So experimentation with RFID chips implanted for various uses. Now, this is, you know, the market of beast stuff. Implant yourself with an RFID chip, and you can sign into your computer. You can do your banking. Now, they already got this. They want to enhance it. so that, you know, everything that you're doing, you're directly connected to this equipment. Security and surveillance. Development of methods for biometric hacking. Today I want to be Sister Mary and do something in her name. And so I changed my genetics to look like her. Just the genetics. I don't have to look like her, just my genetics have to. And then I go and take all the money out of the bank. Or I go commit a crime. And when it comes back, it's going to say that it was her. So some of these things I really don't get. The experiment with ways to bypass security systems. Again, you know, if you're using biometrics to get into a building, sign onto your computer, using your eye scan or your retina scan, rather than having to be that person, you can just get a piece of their DNA and say, hey, I'm going to modify my eyes to look like theirs. It's not really scanning the whole person. Use in counter-surveillance techniques. I can't explain that. Artistic expression. Using bioluminescent bacteria for bio art. So let's say that you can take a firefly and you can find out the mechanism that makes, you know, that makes it glow, and bioengineer something that does the same thing, and then use it in art. Experiment with DNA as a medium for data storage and art. Again, will we really be wanting to store data, like storing data in your body, but you using your DNA to do it? Let's see. Creating living sculptures or installations. So you use some type of biomass and you create a sculpture, but it's not made out of metal or rock. It's actually made out of a living material. Ethic and safety concerns. Risk of unregulated genetic experimentation. They already know that. It's already happening now. Genetic, you know, you can buy a kit, and why they're even saying that it's a risk, it's inherent. If you give people free reign to do whatever they want to do, and why would you ever do that in an area like this? You know, I know what they said when I looked at the article. They want to make this technology available to everyone because they know that only people with money would be able to do this, would be able to use it. And so the people with money would be getting enhanced. They say that they get super strength, or they enhance their ability to read people's minds, or whatever the case may be. And they're the only ones that have the capability. They're the only ones that are able to go in and let's say that if there's a, you know, they suffer from a certain disease, then if they got the money, they can pay to get rid of that disease. So they said they want to make this available to the masses so that the, you know, the people with money aren't the only ones that have access to it. That's where this biohacking is coming from. But then you get into the thing where you put this type of technology out in the public and anybody can do anything, then you don't ever know what might come up, okay? The potential for biohacking to be used for harmful purposes. Privacy concerns regarding genetic data and biometric information. You know that no matter what, whatever the positive is, our nature is to take it somewhere negative. our nature. And so I don't see, you know, there are some positive aspects to this that could be positive. But then again, with man's nature, the nature will be to take it to do something that they ought not be doing. Okay. Now let's talk about what they think are negatives about this. Stuff that I gave you, that's supposed to be all positive. Bioweapons development, creating enhanced pathogens for warfare or terrorism. Create a virus that kills people very quickly. Or only kills certain groups of people. So we want to get rid of people who are born in Croatia and have this particular type of genetic. They can design something that only attacks them. Won't attack anybody else. Engineering organisms to produce toxins. You know, and man will do it if he thinks he can control it. Problem is, too often, stuff gets out of control. Eco-terrorism and environmental damage. Genetically modified organisms into the wild. You know, that everything on this planet is in check. Wherever it was native to, it was in check in that environment. And anytime you take something out of its environment, usually it doesn't have any natural enemies, or it couldn't survive in that environment because the predators there are too powerful. But if you take something and you have genetically modified it, and you introduce it into the wild, it has no natural enemies. They don't even know that it is a threat. What is it? Well, no. Until it eats me. So no natural enemy. And it just multiplies. Disrupting ecosystems through uncontrolled experiments. So, you know, you can upset the balance of nature by introducing something that just never existed there. Genetic discrimination and eugenics. Now, you know, when they said Planned Parenthood, and it was designed to kill black babies. Okay. Eugenics. You know, getting rid of a population by sterilizing the men or the women. Misusing genetic information for discrimination. Oh, no, you're black. Well, you can't have this job, or we need to bring you in and sterilize you. Reviving eugenic ideologies through genetic selection and modification. You know, when they think that certain races are superior to other races, and they use this genetic engineering to make those selections, to enforce their ideology. You know, I think that the world would be better without Puerto Ricans. So I'm going to create a gene that only affects Puerto Ricans. We have this ability. Cyber biological attacks. Combining cybernetic hacking with biological manipulation. You know, you create something biologically created and somebody comes along after you and hacks it. You created it to do this and they say, oh, well, we can add this to it and make it do this. We'll just take it one or two steps further. And it was not your intent but somebody else hacked it. Let's see. Creating biological-based computer virus. You know, the computers would have to be part biological as well for that to work. But somebody would come along and say, hey, you know, these new computers have biological CPUs in them. And so we can write a program or splice some genes and insert it into this computer and bring it down or make it do what we want it to do by hacking, you know, the biological aspect of it. Creating pathogens like Ebola or, you know, what's that stuff that, from raw meat that you can get, my brain is just not working. But, you know, while you got to wipe your counters down, you got to wash your meat and that kind of stuff, there's a piece of bacteria that grows. And if you don't, if you're not cleaning up behind stuff, it's not easy to kill. Cooking doesn't always kill it. So you can create a pathogen that when people eat it, they consume it, it makes them sick. Somebody could engineer one that can't be cured. Biological weapons. Bioengineering can be used to develop biological weapons tailored to target specific genetic or biological traits. The type of bioweapons could be designed to cause harm in various ways, from triggering allergic reactions to more severe psychological effects. I mean, it could actually be used to kill you. But, you know, they could say, hey, we want them all to come down with this. And we only want certain people within the population to come down with it. Targeting agriculture. Bioengineering could be used to target a nation or a region's agriculture, potentially creating plant diseases that could devastate crops and lead to food shortages and economic disruptions. So you want to go in and you want to take over a country. Rather than using bullets, you use a bioweapon that causes their crops to fail, and now, you know, they become unstable, and they want a change of, what, leadership? One second here. Genetic data misuse. As biohacking sometimes involves the analysis and the modification of genetic data, there's a risk that such information can be used to develop genetic-specific weapons, target individuals or groups based upon their genetic characteristics. We've been saying that a lot. Spread of misinformation and panic. The mere threat or fear of bioengineering threats could be used as a psychological weapon, spreading mal or misinformation and panic. In an era where information can quickly go viral, the impact of such tactics could be widespread and damaging. So somebody comes out and says, somebody created a bioweapon that does this, whether it's true or not. And it spreads like this. It could be totally false. But because people know that it's possible, then, you know, you cause a panic. Unregulated experiments. Biohacking by nature often occurs outside of regulated laboratory environments. This can lead to the unintentional creation and release of harmful organisms or substances due to lack of proper containment and safety protocols. Yeah, you're in your garage. You don't have no containment system, no nothing, but, you know, they're going to allow you to do this. ethical and moral dilemmas. Beyond physical threat, weaponizing of bioengineering can pose ethical and moral dilemmas. It can lead to biological arms race, where nations or groups develop increasingly dangerous technologies in response to perceived threats. You know, that is man's nature. You know, the Cold War and most of the wars, you know, the wars themselves were behind banking. But a lot of the times, you know, Russia developed these jets, the U.S. developed these jets and these type of weapons. They need some place to test it, some place where they can actually see the effectiveness of their weapons in a world. And so they go into North Vietnam, they go into Korea. All these little wars where, you know, it was basically us against Russia. If we develop a nuclear bomb, then the other nations are going to definitely say they got to have a nuclear bomb to offset, you know, if you nuke us, we'll nuke you. So now you get into the bio engineering, and this weapon develops a bio agent that does whatever. But now we got to do something to counteract that and to up the ante. And so one of these bio engineering races where it just gets out of control. The erosion of trust in science. So bioengineering can lead to a broader erosion of public trust in science and technology, impacting beneficial research and development. You know, when you are using something to be beneficial, then, you know, there shouldn't be an issue there. But the fact that you're messing with things, that the implication of it, if it's misused, then you can destroy all life on this planet. And I'm not talking about just human life, but all life. And when you're using it, it gives you the potential to play God, to play Elohim, to go into areas where we never should even consider going into. Look at some of these programs that they have. And I think you can get the gist of what I'm talking about. They're going to sell it as it has these positive benefits. But then at the same time, the negative aspects of it, to me, far outweigh the positive benefits that could come from it. So let's look at these different programs. The program CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R, offers immense potential. It also raises significant ethical, social, and ecological questions. The application of CRISPR, especially in human genetics, are subject to rigorous ethical debate, not control, and regulatory scrutiny to ensure the responsible use of the powerful technology. Apart from CRISPR, several other technologies and methods are being used for genetic edit, for gene editing, modification, and related biotechnology applications. Each of these technologies has unique mechanisms and applications. So we got different programs to do different things. First one, besides CRISPR, which is the main one, zinc finger nuclear pen, one of the earliest genome editing tools. ZFNs are engineered DNA binding proteins that create double strand breaks at specific locations in the genome to introduce genetic changes. They are used for targeted gene editing that are more complex and less efficient than CRISPR. So this is, you know, sounds like an earlier technology. And then they moved on to CRISPR. TALEN, T-A-T-A-L-E-N, and it stands for transcript activator-like effector nuclease. Similar to TFNs, TALENs are another form of genetic nuclease. that can be designed to cut specific DNA sequences to introduce changes. Salads are more flexible than ZFNs, but are still more cumbersome than CRISPR. RNA interference, RNAi. This technology silences gene expression at the RNA level, rather than altering the DNA itself. That's what they did with the COVID vaccine. RNAi works by degrading specific mRNA molecules and blocking their translation into proteins. It's widely used for gene function studies and has potential therapeutic applications. Technology. This involves using antisense oligonucleotides, I butchered that word, short DNA or RNA molecules, to interfere with gene expression. It is used to research and has therapeutic applications, particularly for treating certain genetic disorders. Prime editing. An enhanced version of CRISPR. Prime editing is more precise and can correct a wider range of genetic mutations without causing double-strand breaks in DNA. It is still in the experimental stages, but holds promise for correcting nearly all types of genetic mutations. So this is where they're going with the prime editing. Right now it's CRISPR. And if you ever looked at, you know, a picture of DNA, you know, it has that double helix, or you got two rows connect to DNA. Whenever they go in to edit, the tools that they use right now will break both helixes. And so you got to insert both sides. They're saying that this technology will allow them to only break one side, pull out what they want, and insert what they want. Base editing, developed from CRISPR technology, base editors directly convert one DNA base into another without creating double-strand breaks, offering more precise editing capabilities for certain types of genetic mutations. Gene silencing and activation system. Beyond editing, technologies like CRISPR, activation, and CRISPR-I interference are used to upregulate or downregulate the expression of genes without altering the DNA sequence. So, you know, we can either turn this gene on or off, is what they're saying. Gene therapy vectors. Viral vectors such as adeno-associated viruses are used to deliver genetic material into the cell, either to replace a false gene or to provide a new function. This method is central to many gene therapy strategies. This is a delivery system. We'll put it in a virus, we'll infect you with the virus enters into your cells and delivers the gene modification. Synthetic biology. This field combines biology and engineering to design and construct new biological parts, devices, and systems. Synthetic biology encompasses a wide range of applications, from creating synthetic organisms to producing biofuels and pharmaceuticals. So I see that as being, you know, it don't occur in nature, but we'll be able to do it in the lab. Genome sequencing technology. Next-generation sequencing technologies enable rapid providing essential data for genetic research, personalized medicine, and various biotechnical applications. So basically, they will be able to rewrite certain aspects of strands of the gene real quick. Epigenetic editing. This emerging field focuses on altering the epigenome, the set of chemical modifications to DNA and histones that regulate gene expression. It has potential for therapeutic application, and especially in disease where gene expression is deregulated. So those are the ones, the different technologies that they are using to do different things, whether it's a delivery system, whether it is a splicing, an editing system. So right now, the main one that they're using that is, that they're even giving to the public, the biohackers are giving out, is CRISPR. I can guarantee you when Prime comes online, they will give that out. The biohackers will get a copy of it and give it out. And so people will, you know, be able to use this technology, but it won't, but nobody will be able to control them. So let's look at some scriptures on these things. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We probably already did this one, but I didn't do them all, so we're going to go over them. Because we got to understand, as our faith is in the Most High, that anything that man comes up with, and this is one that is real scary because they are messing with things that, you know, are at the level, you know, that I believe that, you know, the Most High really reserved for himself. 1-5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Elohim, having a form of godliness, and this is, you know, they're playing Elohim with this technology, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, denying that, you know, he even exists or has anything to do or say in this. From such, turn away. So right there, that tells me that, you know, I'm not supposed to get involved with this type of technology. Matthew 24:12. The book of Matthew, chapter 24, and verse 12. And because iniquity, lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We know that lawlessness is abounding. We know that people are doing whatever they want to do, and their standards are not based on the Most High. Their standards are based upon themselves and what they think is right. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, the book of Romans chapter 1. And let's get verses 28-32. Romans chapter 1, verses 28-32. And the word of the Most High reads, even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters of Elohim, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of Elohim, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we know that they don't love Elohim, they don't consider him in any of their decisions. They are unlawful. They are without understanding. If they were, you know, of the mind of Elohim, they would know that they should not be messing with this. Because they're going to do it anyway. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And the word of the Most High reads, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which Elohim has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of Elohim, of God, or Elohim, is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Okay. 2 Peter, chapter 3. We already read that one earlier. Go to Revelation, chapter 9. Revelation, chapter 9. Verse 21. Revelation 9 and 21. And this is one of the kickers right here, because the Most High is going to bring judgment on this planet because of what they're going to do. And he says, and for all that, neither repent they of their murders, nor of their sorcery, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. They're just going to continue doing what they're doing, finding a reason to do it, until he has to do away with it all. Any questions on anything that we talked about tonight, if you could keep up with it?
Okay.
No questions? All right, with that being said, I'm starting to get uncomfortable in this chair. Time for me to get up from here. No questions. We will meet on Tuesday. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Keep an eye on this technology. Pay attention to it in the news. Learn how they are going to be implementing it in the medical field. Because you might go to the hospital and say, hey, we need to give you this. And if you don't know what it is, you might take it. And so keep an eye on it. Understand that it is not coming. It is here. And we need to be mindful and vigilant of it. What's going on here?
Okay,
I am. Yeah, it's starting to bother me, so I know I need to get up from here.
All right.
Just a man. You always said, teach me the I want to do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishra, got good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Hello, family. Thank you, my sisters, and I'll see you guys on Tuesday. Peace and blessings.
Okay.